This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Five on Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Here is question number one. Divide your blame pie for the Bears' loss among offense, defense, special teams, and coaching.
I would also like to interrupt this five on it with a little bit of breaking news because it involves the Bears' next opponent. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski has announced that Shedeur Sanders will be Cleveland's starter for the remainder of the season. So we now know who will be the opposing quarterback to the Bears on Sunday when they play the Browns. That game wasn't as hyped on the Fox graphic that they showed during the game as every other graphic. But yeah, so that I just wanted to pass along.
And if I may, really quick, from the Department of Corrections, minor correction on my part, on the move play with Andrew Billings, the one who got the penalty was not Daniel Hardy. It was Austin Booker,
as it turned out,
it was all situated and figured out. Not Daniel Hardy. So it will be Austin Booker to whom I will speak.
You're right. It was because I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Department of Corrections is technically jail. So you probably want to maybe we should. I don't think you're going to jail.
Layla, when I make an error, I want to go to jail.
No.
And thanks to Kevin Fishbane, who did text me to correct me. And Kevin, what have I told you about correcting me while I'm on the air? I've told you about that.
Please do it, but I'm gonna... in a timely manner. Expedite the corrections.
But thank you, Kevin.
We don't all
want to
be victims. And also, on that note, I just want to point out, Shedeur Sanders, he who will start against the Bears, 23 of 42, 364 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick, and a loss in which he didn't get to get on the field for what would have been a game-tying 2-point conversion at the end of the game. Also, he's the first rookie this year to throw for 300 yards.
Holy cow.
That 2-point conversion is, as the kids would say, sus. None of this is the blame pie. All right, so now
sus
we got
the new sick, by the way?
Sus is suspicious.
Oh, thank
you. Like it. You like the abbreviation for that. Blame pie for the Bears' loss among offense, defense, special teams, and coaching. Part of a tiny, 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 tiny slice of a blame pie goes to whatever the hell that kickoff was by Cairo Santos. Special teams! Coaching. I don't know why you didn't run the ball more in the first half. Offense and defense. Offense, you didn't show up in the first half, partially because I think the scheme was not what we wanted it to be. So you get 40% of my blame pie. Defense gets 50.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't, the defensive scheme, it just didn't work. It didn't. Jordan Love ate in man coverage. The zone was soft. I'm not sure what the blitzes or the blitz looks were trying to do other than, unfortunately, leave people more open. So that's kind of where I'm at with this.
50% on the defense for me. The explosives are they're just unacceptable at that rate. You can't endure that many explosive plays and think you're going to win football games on the road specifically. So 50% goes to the defense. I'm going to put 35% on the offense because, yes, what was that in the first half? I agree. But part of that, what was that in the first half, goes on the coaching. So I'm going to get the coaching 13% and then special teams 2%. Because the kicks were made that needed to be made, but yes, the dirty kick was too dirty for their own good.
According to Eric in Uptown, Sexy Red even commented, why wasn't Shadur on the field? Amazing!
Sexy Red.
You listen to the Sexy Red on B96.
Oh, nice!
So
right,
I was...
Brody, you're up.
Yeah, no, I... Actually, speaking of pie, I was in the single section of... Don't get dirty. I was in the single section at our Jewels. In the South Loop.
You said pie. I was in the single section.
That's fair. That's
don't
fair.
Get dirty. I was in the single section.
You know what I'm talking about,
come
where
on,
they
man.
Cut up all the individual pieces for
I
those
know.
Of us.
I bet,
just,
I bet they do.
It's a whole route for single people at any grocery store.
I didn't
really
order
is.
Any pie. Bow chicka bow wow.
So I had a nice slice of blueberry pie from the Jewels. I give, in my blame blueberry pie, I give the defense 60% of
what
the blame.
Me.
Whoa! Yes, 60%.
More arrogance from the blame pie.
Blame pie is delicious and it'll make you fat!
The 45-yard play to Bo Melton where you just have Jalen Johnson kind of hanging out, Brisker, like, look, I can't keep up with this guy. Get him out of here. The obviously, that slant, Jordan Love to Watson, C.J. Gardner-Johnson dropping the ball on the coverage. There are too many of these. Even Luke Musgrave, I'm even counting the almost plays
Josh
that were made.
Wiley.
Josh Wiley,
Luke
too.
Luke Musgrave, like, brawny arm emoji caught that catch.
Yeah. Hey, do y'all want to tackle Josh Jacobs on third and short?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when everyone's behind the line of scrimmage?
No, they did not. Nobody wanted to. They just all stared at him at an angle.
Are you guys feeling my 60% now? I think you guys are feeling
well,
my 60%
so
right
like
now.
I was...
Well, you didn't mention Josh Wiley before who had the 21-yard catch before the 23-yard catch for Christian Watson.
Yeah, once you start going through the game log, man, it starts to add up.
It's a little dirty.
Yeah, so 30% to the offense. It's for similar reasons to what you guys said. Just like delay. I think you said that to me last night on the phone, Layla. Was it delayed offense, you said?
When I called Mark Grody?
Yeah.
I believe I called it the procrastination offense.
Procrastination offense is a great way to characterize them. Can't have that in a huge game at Green Bay if you are a big boy team, if I may. 5% to special teams for a botch kick landing shy of the landing zone, which eventually led to the Bo Melton bomb when they got the ball, so they did the work with it. And then 5% to the coaching. I was mostly pleased with what I saw from the play calling from Ben Johnson. But guess what? Got to get your act together on defense in the first half before you. And I know that great adjustments were made, but you can't have what you had in the first half.
What?
Number two.
How much, if at all, does the Bears' loss to the Packers lower your belief that they will make the playoffs?
All right, maybe they're not winning the division. Yeah, I said it. But I still think they're making the playoffs. This NFC is open. So open that the Bears are now seventh in the NFC standings. I don't care. They're still on the graphic. They're still on the for real graphic, the playoff one. So yeah, I still like their chances.
I'm pretty sure if they don't win the division, they're not going to the playoffs, because if they don't beat the Packers, I don't think they're going to the playoffs. The Packers have to go to Denver this week. I feel like they need to be ahead of the Packers to go to the playoffs, because I don't have a lot of faith that they would win a Week 18 everything's on the line game against the Detroit Lions.
Really?
I don't have a lot of faith.
Even at Soldier Field.
Two divisions in the NFC, you'll get two playoff seeds out of two. Right, and
you
then
mean two wild cards out of
yeah,
two.
Yeah, but like the playoff berths. Yeah, so I don't know.
That Detroit game, though, man, you know Ben Johnson wants a piece of Dan
Campbell.
I'm
sure he wanted a piece of him the first time.
I know, but they weren't ready, were they? They were not ready. What's the question here again? Would the Bears win the playoff?
How much, if at all, does the Bears' loss to the Packers lower your belief, Grody, that they will make the playoffs?
My belief has not been lowered.
Honestly, I still believe they're going to make the playoffs. This game did not dissuade me, did not turn me off in terms of the big picture for the Bears, but it just did remind me. Like it will, I'm sure that when Ben Johnson speaks today, he will talk about the things that need to get better, and if they are not fixed, they will not go to the playoffs, and they will not win in the playoffs.
Number three.
Do you take any issue with Notre Dame ending its season rather than accepting a bowl bid?
Yeah. Because you know what? All those years that you were independent and you thought it worked out to your advantage, because a lot of the time it did, every now and then there comes a season where the benefit of the doubt will not be given to the independent team in a more egalitarian playoff concept. This is one of those years. The easiest way for Notre Dame to avoid this is by joining a conference. And then perhaps they would get again that benefit of the doubt that they seek. And given their schedule, it seems like a pretty easy thing for them to be able to accomplish. I'm pretty sure any conference in these United States in the NCAA would want Notre Dame.
Pac-12.
Now we're getting, that's a very good way of staying independent if you get my drift.
Yes.
But
dictating your terms, if you will.
Yeah, but they're in conferences at other sports, so it would just make sense. Like, if you want to take the ambiguity out of it in a year like this, that's the solution. Is it enough for them one year to have this issue? I don't know, but it says more about what we're seeing the bowl system have happen right now. A reported 10 teams have declined bowl invitations. Now there's a report in Offal announcing that Temple clarifies it never declined the Birmingham Bowl bid. We always joked about there being too many bowls, but I don't think anybody thought attrition might happen this quickly.
Well, I don't think it's about the bowls. I think it's about the conferences being too big, and you can't sort things out in the conferences, and you can't figure out your bylaws to make sure that the best team from your conference gets into a bowl. The ACC was fortunate that it did have the backing in that room, the backing that part-time ACC member, we only got to play 5 ACC teams a year, Notre Dame did not have. I'll say it like this. In the new world of college football, more than ever, it's like an election. And to be viable as a quote-unquote independent, you got to be highly viable and highly popular with everybody around you. You have to make it a no-doubt case like Notre Dame did last season. Because if there's any question, guess what? The parties are going to run. Parties in this analogy being the conferences themselves. So if they don't find a way into an ACC championship game in the future, and I don't know if that's got to be a renegotiation, they're pretty mad at the ACC right now because they feel like they had no backing from the conference in which they are a full-time member in every sport but football. This isn't going to stand. So either join a conference, Notre Dame, or shut up.
Well, also, like, did last year mean nothing to you and the year before that? Like, the ACC has shown it doesn't have the same power that the other conferences have out of the power conferences.
They literally couldn't get their conference champion into the playoff.
Bingo.
It was a very disappointing weekend for me and the rest of Irish Nation as we...
The Catholics.
And I admit, we can be divas, and I get how we can turn some people off, those of us who are... In Notre Dame diehards. Look, I'm 1,000% in favor. At Notre Dame, guys, you play for championships, not Pop-Tart bowls, okay? I don't want ESPN getting ratings boosts after basically bleeping us out of a playoff. Everyone is angry, and rightfully so. The playoff is run by ESPN, which is a strong partner to the SEC and the ACC, guys. They did everything in their power to boost an ACC and SEC school, all while using Notre Dame to build drama each Tuesday for their ranking special. That's where the anger comes from.
Shouldn't they just join the ACC then?
No. Well, that's not going to happen. That is part of our arrogance.
I will admit that.
We are arrogant Catholics. I will admit that.
I am a Catholic, and the day that I don't love Pop-Tarts is a day I'm buried dead in the ground.
I agree with that.
I'm not going to hear about
well
this. You know what? When I'm playing the game and I participate in the group project and I don't get the results I want, I graciously accept.
Also, Mark,
we don't
two
do
things,
that.
Okay. Two things. Blueberry, non-frosted for me.
So good.
That's me.
I love blueberry flavor.
Also, They turned down $6 million, too. That's just beyond arrogance. That's just saying, we don't need your bag.
It is, and it's a little bit like I feel bad.
We don't need the 15 extra days of practice for the next year's team.
It's not a good look for us. Your favorite Pop-Tart, Layla?
Non-frosted strawberry.
No, the strawberry is... it's really close for me between strawberry and blueberry.
I love frosting artificial bread flavor.
No, I don't need the frosting.
Yeah, okay, we're in alignment there. Yeah.
Whoa, did you know people hate us?
That's fine.
Hate what, not having the frosting?
Yes.
I'm used to that.
They hate the midday show in general, but they also may hate us for not liking frosting.
I didn't realize
Pop-Tart.
That was such a heavy topic.
Apparently, we're avant-garde.
We're of a certain age.
Five on Number four.
This is Five On It on 670 Score with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody. What's the biggest baseball storyline you're following as the winter meetings officially begin today in Orlando?
When I called Mark Grody for our own personal Bears postgame show yesterday, I originally called him to talk about the play that I had watched 9 million times. But then I also was like, hey, did you see this report from Ken Rosenthal that the Pirates are offering Kyle Schwarber? If the Pirates can offer Kyle Schwarber what is reportedly, according to Ken Rosenthal, a four-year over $100 million offer, you know who else can? Every team in the league, perhaps minus the Rockies, where I actually think he would rake. But that includes the Cubs. What are we doing? Why is it that the teams that I'm seeing be players for Kyle Schwarber in this Ken Rosenthal report are the Reds, the Red Sox, the Pirates, and of course his team, the Phillies? Why are the Cubs not mentioned in that? What are we doing here? The Pirates can step up? Ugh.
It's the Bob Nightingale in it for me. He tweets this out on Saturday. The Chicago Cubs are close to finalizing an agreement with free agent starter Zach Gallen on a multi-year deal. They'll pay him an average of $22 million a year. Do you guys know anybody making $22 million next year? Would you know of anybody making $22 million next year?
I believe his name rhymes with Shota Imanaga.
What? No, that's just Shota Imanaga. It's not a rhyme. It's just that is his name.
Big if true.
Gallen, with three top 10 Cy Young finishes, has averaged 32 starts a year for the past four seasons. Here's the problem. Nightingale shortly thereafter said, update, the Cubs are hopeful of finalizing a deal with said player. And then right after that, Jeff Passan said, Zach Gallen does not have a deal and is not close to finalizing one. Yeah, the Cubs are trying to, I think, show a carrot out there. We're trying. Don't try. Just do. That's all I want to see is results.
I've always liked Zach Gallen. One of the reasons I like him is because he does look a lot like Kyle Mooney, former SNL cast member, who is just hilarious. But I'm with Layla. Layla did bring the Schwarber thing to my attention, and then I did read up on it. And the fact that the Pirate... I'm actually... One of my reactions was happy for the Pirates, believe it or not, that they are gathering money, the most money that they've gathered since, like, Francisco Liriano signed with the Pirates way back when, but 4 years, $100 million. If he's to go to the Pirates and the Cubs miss out on him, that's the one that's going to break open the anger for Cubs fans who, I'm not saying the Cubs are, like, putting pressure on the Cubs. I think most Cubs fans would be like, yeah, it'd be great to have Kyle Schwarber back. I don't know if
you want to see him in the division in a Pirates uniform 13 times a year?
Really don't want to see that, but and I understand what you're saying. But I think it would, and honestly, if I'm Schwarber, I would heavily consider going. Schwarber hit 56 home runs last year, 132 RBIs. Can you imagine what he would do if he had a full year in Cincinnati, considering the sample size? Every time he goes to that ballpark, he just smashes the baseball.
Which is why, if he's going to be in the bloody division, sign him to your team.
Number five.
The Veterans Committee of the Baseball Hall of Fame voted in second baseman Jeff Kent to the Hall while passing on all-time home run leader Barry Bonds, 354 game winner Roger Clemens, two MVPs from the 1980s, Don Mattingly and Dale Murphy, and Gary Sheffield, who slugged 509 career home runs. You good with the voting results?
I think Don Mattingly and Dale Murphy deserve to get into the Hall, don't you? Am I crazy for that?
You're not crazy, but the purists would tell you it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very, Very Good, and to describe those guys as very, very good.
Oh man, Don Mattingly and Dale Murphy. I get it that they border on that, but those two, I thought Don Mattingly was a Hall of Famer like a long time ago. Not that he got in, but that he should be in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Kent, that's a message. That is a message sent. I didn't think that Jeff Kent would be used in this way in the year of our Lord 2025 to send a message like this, but They did it.
It is a shot fired across the bow. If only you know about the relationship between Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent, who shared a lineup and shared a lot of good memories. And a lot of, you could argue, Kent's production was based on the fact that he was batting next to Barry Bonds in said lineup. Bonds out, Kent in is a direct shot at that era and the players who they like and the players they don't like. When you look at who made up the Veterans Committee, a bunch of old schoolers showing you old school notions.
You don't think Jeff Kent deserves to be in, though, on his own merit? You really think this is just petty, period?
I think a Hall of Fame with Jeff Kent in it, but without Dale Murphy and Barry Bonds and some of the other guys, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And Dale Murphy, what do you have, 3-4 MVPs? I mean, he was a massive slugger for the Atlanta Braves back in the day. And I remember when the Cubs would play the Braves, I couldn't stand Dale Murphy.
Back-to-back MVPs.
He looked like a character on the Waltons. That's what he always looked like to me. And I was like, who is this guy who looks like he's on the Waltons on my television hitting home runs against the Cubs?
Not have a Waltons reference in my brain, but go ahead.
I'll bring you all sorts of references. But I would like to see Dale Murphy in, and I totally get what you're saying, because famously Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds hated each other, both from what we can understand and gather, both tools, though. So, Bears.
Yeah, which is why.
Birds. And I love my ISU Redbirds. I realize that I went in on Notre Dame and protected my Irish. That doesn't mean I don't love my Redbirds. It's just what we were discussing. I got some criticism on the text line. Loving the Redbirds.
North Texas lost to Tulane.
Oh, man.
Tulane. Jason Bernstein and I did not have a bet, but I did congratulate him on the win. Yeah,
that's not necessary.
And I'm not going to Albuquerque for the New Mexico Bowl. Sorry, guys. There's only so many places I can go in the world. And my family lives across the country for me and each other. So family first. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, we got to talk about this Bears defensive plan against the Packers. Narrator, it didn't work. We will discuss why next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here they line everybody up the line for one. Love on a play fake. Quick throw. Watson with the speed. Uh-oh! Christian Watson in a foot race, and he's going to win it. Touchdown, Green Bay.
Why you got to do that, guys? Why you got to go there with that call and that play? What you doing? Ray Diaz, Tyler Buteball. Why are you guys being sneaky over here?
I like the Butte's music.
I know. He does a good job with that. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason I'm bothered is because, well, the Packers scored 28 points. They beat the Bears by a final of 28-21. And I found myself many times asking, I understand that Kyler Gordon was ruled out right before the game. Got injured in pregame warmups, but did that mean that we had to see that catastrophic of a offense or a defensive performance out of this Bears team?
No, it's not Kyler Gordon. I mean, of course it would have been better if Kyler Gordon was in there, but this idea that, oh my God, Kyler Gordon's not here. Quite frankly, the Bears defense has done what it has done this year without Kyler Gordon, and we all love C.J. Gardner, except for the blown coverage he had yesterday.
Poor C.J. was in run fits.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Oh, he had a tackle for loss at one point, either that or no yard.
It was
yard.
Early. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and the interception. But, yeah, he got burned a couple times, just like it seemed like the whole secondary sort of just came undone in this game in a lot of ways.
I think one of the biggest problems, though, when you talk about the defense is and this might it might be this simple. They got that turnover they were looking for from Jordan Love, and they got it early, and they had excellent field position, and the Bears offense did absolutely nothing with it. And if you're not going to score any point, you can't even get me a field goal, that's going to be, in the long haul, why the game does not go your way. You have to take advantage when you make your turnovers.
I mean, that's it, especially if that's, as we've seen, and let's face it, many times this season, Mark, Marshall, Layla, me, confess to yourself that there have been times where the Bears defense, you knew that the best way for them to get a stop in a particular series was via a turnover. That was, because they produce them so well, a likely outcome. And then secondly, that was the best way for them to then turn around and march down the field, theoretically get a touchdown, and convert it into points. And when they didn't, especially in this game, it was one of those red flag moments for me where I'm going, oh, this is not going the way that they had hoped, I think, via the game plan.
I think one of the big things is to understand that in the first half of this game, the Packers were 4-for-7 on third down. One, that means they weren't in a lot of third down situations because they had these explosives that they were scoring touchdowns on that were ending possessions. And then you look overall and understand they were 4-for-7 on third down in the first half. In the second half, they were 4-for-5 on third down situations. Like understand 8-for-12 for the game on third down. That's going to be hard for you to come back from.
I also thought that, and it's a great point, like it's really agonizing when your defense forces a turnover, as C.J. Gardner-Johnson did, and you don't take advantage of it. And that problem has popped up early in the season for the Bears. But the Montez Sweat sack was good. The another play where I was frustrated for the defense was starting the third quarter, it's 14-3 Green Bay, and the Bears defense does force a 3-and-out in that spot, and the Bears offense does not take advantage. So the Bears defense was actually doing a lot of their usual stuff, but their usual stuff ain't good enough against a team like the Green Bay Packers or just really good teams in general.
Wait, you said the third quarter?
Yeah, right out of halftime.
The first drive of the third quarter by...
No, the Bears got to stop and then score a touchdown.
Did they score on that next drive?
Yeah, that was the Zacchaeus diving touchdown with a two-point conversion to make it 14-11.
All right, wrong on that one.
No.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, and this is kind of the point. It's like the offense got it together, in my opinion. Now, we can agree or disagree on like what you thought of the offense after halftime. I thought the offense was perfectly fine after halftime. Why do I say that? They had four possessions, three touchdowns, and a possession that got you all the way inside the 10 and ended with an interception.
Well, can we talk about the 17-play
drive. That was, we haven't even mentioned that today, have we? That
no,
was
and
sick.
We should.
That
we
was sick.
Should.
Because I did some of my own math on that.
And,
guys.
And I said touchdowns. It went touchdown, field goal, touchdown, and then the last drive was an interception, which they got the ball all the way inside the 10-yard line.
No, yeah. The 17 play drive was beast mode.
Complete beast mode. It tied the game at 21 in the third. On this drive, I counted 10 rushing plays, 6 of 5 yards or more, and Manungai had the back-to-back 9-yarder. So that is one of those things that has – I love that as the identity for the Bears, these long drives, which they had about a handful of them this year.
I don't know why they weren't running the ball more. And I know we wanted to talk about that a little bit more in the 1 o'clock hour, and this was reserved for the defense. But it is one of those games where I think we have to talk about these things hand in hand, you know, because in this scheme, and I think on a good team – you're talking about the offense answering what the defense is going to do for you. But there were just times, I agree, about the explosive plays by the Packers that it was too much to overcome. You can't play like that for a half of football, for example, and expect to be able to redeem yourselves, especially on the road. That's just an unrealistic position. They were so good that they got it down to that final play where they had a chance to score a touchdown and then theoretically get a two-point conversion. They were that good that they bought themselves enough of those opportunities. But regardless, I think that the thing that I noticed about the Packers' offense was that they didn't look fazed at all by some of the looks that Dennis Allen gives up front. You know, we talk all about how Dennis Allen wants a ton of bodies up front, load that front line of scrimmage. You see how he'll put like 7 or 8 men even in that box. And it's aggressive, and then sometimes they'll look like they're showing blitz, and then they move back. Sometimes they go ahead and go forward. But I feel like for every one of those, the Packers had an answer. We just didn't see it. And then the pass rush wasn't producing enough on its own to be able to cause any disruption of the offensive rhythm that Green Bay had put together.
I think part of it is when you look at what Jordan Love was able to do at the line of scrimmage, when he was checking out of passing plays and going to the run, the Bears just could not adjust on the fly like the Packers were adjusting on the fly. Like, the Packers had the adjustments ready for whatever the Bears were doing on a specific play. They were like, we can throw. If we get the coverage we like, we're going to throw. If we don't, we'll just give it to Josh Jacobs to see if he can lean forward for 3 or 4 or more yards.
But no sacks again. Or no, excuse me. The one sack by Montez
Sweat,
which was sick. I mean, that was nice.
Was that loss of 14 on the play?
Something like that.
It was a big sack.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it went from like 2nd and 3 to 3rd and 17 or 3rd and 14, something like that.
Yeah, and when they did put the pressure on, like, this was a bad blitz game for Dennis Allen. Let's be honest about it. They got burned on that quite a bit throughout this day. We saw TJ Edwards dialed up at one point in time, and he flings it for 10 or 11 yards on that particular play. It just wasn't working out for the Bears in this game.
Sometimes you roll the dice, it comes up snake eyes. Sunday, it came up snake eyes.
Well, I mean, the better question is just how are teams going to use that to their advantage for the rest of the season? Like, how are opponents going to see that? What tells did they pick up on in the Bears' defense where they're saying to themselves, no, we're going to beat you this way? And I don't necessarily know that, say, Cleveland has enough offensive firepower to be able to make it happen where they can beat them. But I wonder about the games against the Lions, the next Packers game, and then the 49ers.
Yeah, all three of those teams that you're talking about outside of Cleveland have established veteran quarterbacks who know that, like, when a blitz comes, this is what we do, when we can check out of things. I think that's the number one concern, because it's not a personnel thing. It's a scheme thing, if we're being honest. Now, Jalen Johnson coming back and playing more than the 60-something percent of snaps he played this past week, if he does come back, because he didn't look right. He did not look at full strength.
He looked slow.
And so that's a concern, because if he does not come back to what you thought Jalen Johnson would be at the beginning of the season, that's going to be an issue. Because who else is out there? They say they came out of the game no worse for wear, so that means Nashawn Wright's fine? Is that what we're assuming? Because I was like, my first thought was concussion protocol.
He got kicked in the head. Like, when Ben Johnson said that, I was surprised.
Right.
You're right.
the Bears in general look slow.
A step
in this
slow.
Game. Like, really, like Kevin Byard, man, I mean, just exposed. And he's a safety. I get it. It was some bad matchups that wasn't supposed to happen, but exposed. C.J. Gardner-Johnson
off the line of scrimmage.
Exposed a little bit. It's like, okay, we're seeing a step slow day here in the frozen tundra. And by the way, the frozen tundra, that's a pretty well-manicured field. I can't really give any excuses for the cold.
They got the electric coils underneath that keep it warm.
It's the best field
in
the league.
Really frozen anymore.
It's the best field in the
but
league.
But it doesn't play as soft and as giving in that temperature as other fields
do. No, you're
do.
Probably right, but they do an extraordinary, trust me, in my years doing the sidelines, players would always tell me that Green Bay is the best surface to play on, even knowing that they play at Soldier Field,
but
and they shouldn't say stuff like
there
that.
There were guys slipping a lot yesterday, Bears players, slipping a ton.
Did DJ Moore slip yesterday?
Yeah, he had a slip. Yes.
They're his feet, you know? I mean, they are his feet. He is responsible for his feet.
I love DJ's faith in his Nike cleats, but sometimes it's just a matter of the length of the cleat, you know?
Well, we saw them adjusting a bunch of guys' cleats in the middle of the game.
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you always see that. The cleat, how easy it is to do, but it's tough to know exactly.
They're my feet was like my favorite DJ
They're my
line.
Feet.
They're my feet. Come out to Garfield's Beverage Warehouse in Norwich this Thursday from 5:30 to 7. I will be there. And you can register for your chance to win a pair of passes to attend Football After Dark. The next one is with Noah Sewell at Moretti's in Edison Park on December 16th. I am looking forward to the conversation. It is brought to you by Remy Martin VSOP. This is my city. Coming up next, let's get some more phone calls. We didn't have time to get everybody in our 10:45 segment, so we'll do it next. 312-644-6767. What did you think of the defense that the Bears had against the Packers? Were you more concerned about the offense, for example? We will talk about it all next. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think just taking away the explosive plays, I think really outside of that, I think we did a solid job. We got to do better on third down for sure. But other than that, they had a lot of big plays. So I think that was the biggest difference.
That was Jalen Johnson talking about what he thought was one of the biggest aspects of the Bears' loss. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday brought to you by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We take your calls 312-644-6767. Going to Anthony and Bourbon A. Anthony, you're on with Raheemy Harrison Grody.
Hey, great show, guys. Question for you. If there's a big letdown against Cleveland, just how far do you think this could go?
Wow. That's where your thoughts take you after that game yesterday?
It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, emotionally, I mean, coming down off of that, I think there was a lot of emotion in that. And if they stumble against Cleveland, just how far could it go?
It could get really bad. If they lose to Cleveland, which they simply cannot do, yeah, we're looking at potentially a different trajectory and a bumpy, crashy ending to the season, because then all of a sudden it's like a must win against Green Bay at Soldier Field.
Yeah, you've got to win the game against Cleveland if you're hoping to make the playoffs. I think that's a non-negotiable at this point. Ben Johnson touched on it after the game. Remember when he said 9 wins is not going to be enough to get a playoff berth in the NFC? I think that's correct.
He mentioned, if you listen carefully to that comment, he said the phrase a couple, as in 11 wins being the target, and they can still win 11 games if they lose to Cleveland. They're not losing to the Browns. The Browns are out here tanking. If you don't think the Browns are tanking, I don't know what you guys were watching. Well, if you were watching what happened at the end of that game.
That's why it's a good question, because if they were to lose that game, that's a colossal, awful loss to an awful Browns team, which isn't interested in playing. So I don't think that's going to happen. I don't want to push this into existence, okay, but it's a fair question by the caller and probably a person who has watched the Bears for 40 years.
Yeah, and maybe somebody who also experienced the 2-10 game losing streaks in the past.
We've all been hurt before, Layla.
I do know somebody who I think has been watching 40 years of Bears football.
Yeah.
Frank in Oak Park.
Oh,
you're on with Raheemy Harrison Grody.
Yes, and despite that trauma, I think I'm still doing better than fans in Indy and KC. At least we're relatively healthy and have some pass to the playoffs. On offense, the team had problems deciphering what the Packer defense was doing and didn't get moving until the second half. Still, the Bears outrushed the Pack by 21 yards and scored 21 points against the fifth-best yardage defense in the league. There were also highlight reel passes to Komet and Zacharias for that TD. On defense, problems we knew were there, but raised their ugly heads. When you can't rush with four, you blitz. On one of those zero formations, Watson was one-on-one with CGJ and cooked him for a 42-yard score.
Cooked him.
Love was mighty comfy when he unleashed that 45-yard bomb TD to Melton as well. You look at the basic stat sheets and it's more stark. Of only 7 teams have earned fewer sacks on defense than the Bears 24. Of that group, only 3 have a record of 500 or above. Look at the top 7, and only 2 have losing records. Spend the draft capital needed next April to get a highly disruptive tackler end. Then you can make life tough for the Love, Staffords, and Darnolds you'll need to beat to get back to the Super Bowl. By the way, the guy you face next week, Shador, the rookie, can spin a nice deep ball himself if you look at the highlights of that last game against the Titans. And they beat the Packers, so watch out.
To be fair, when they beat the Packers, Shador was not the quarterback. But I would say he's probably an upgrade over the guy who was.
I love that.
Frank just ended his call with a warning.
Oh, and it sounded ominous. Watch out. By the way, Matt Spiegel,
just walked in here, folks. You know, we don't have victory chicken, which leaves us in a very awkward place. He just came in here, and I'm looking out in the hallway on the little bar out there. He has placed what appears to be a cake.
Cake?
So it's a loser cake Monday.
It's always a loser cake in my house.
Spiegel made a loser cake.
Now I'm curious.
Me too.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Mark in Arlington Heights. Mark, you're on with Rahimi Harrison Grody.
Hey, good to talk to you. Two questions. Do you think we missed Roma Dunze at all with his blocking? And then my second question is, love Caleb Williams. I love the way he fires the ball when he's, you know, back in the pocket and he's decisive. But he misses a lot of, like, routine throws. And I was listening to Courtney Cronin, who says they can't fix his mechanics until the off season. So I'm wondering, what do we do with him now? Is that able to be resolved, or what's going on with that?
Well, Mark, thank you for your very reasonable questions on this usually unreasonable football Monday. I think they did miss Roma Dunze, not just for his blocking, of course, but how the offense looked. You know, I mentioned this earlier. DJ Moore only getting three targets was a surprise, given that Rome was out. Olamide Zaccheaus also got three targets. We saw that really nice play in the end zone that Caleb Williams threw. I think when Courtney says that about Caleb Williams' mechanics, it's true. You really can't make a lot of wholesale mechanical changes when you're this into a season. So the answer is what the Bears did in the second half. You know Caleb Williams is one of the best in the league on the run when he throws. So you play into that. You have to build your passing game off of your running game. I think in the first half, the Bears tried to just outright pass too much. I don't think there was a lot of play-action-based passing that we saw. That's why I think the offense looked out of sorts a bit, was because the Packers know. They've got the tape. We're late into the season now. The run game is going to help feed that passing game. So get him on the move. Move the pocket, let him run, and then let him kind of do his thing, because that's where I feel like his body is more comfortable right now, at least at this juncture in time.
Well, and then the bigger point, too, about Courtney's comments on it, look, we talked about this earlier this season, like it's winning over development right now. This is an example of, for people who need examples of, where the development might be stalled a little bit. There are things they're not going to do right now because of, as Layla, as you said, where they are in the season. Not only that, because they are winning. So it's like, to be continued, we're going to roll. We're going to do whatever the hell we have to do to win games, no matter what it means, if it's even at Caleb's development expense during the season. That's a great example of it right there.
I think it's pretty obvious that if they want to go far, Caleb's got to be better. Now, as far as fixing the little things he's been talking about that he knows needs to be fixed with the footwork and everything, it is going to take off-season regiment. And right now, they don't have time for that. So he's just got to do the best of what he has and hope for the best.
Yeah, and I think we even saw maybe a more idealized game plan to begin with in the first half. It didn't work. Okay. And then what we saw adjust in the second. Yes,
I'm Mark sorry Brody? To be so interruptive here right now, but
you're
I'm reading a text.
All.
I'm reacting in real time. I got this text here now from Tanny regarding the cake that is sitting out in the bar area, covered up at the moment.
Loser cake?
No, Tanny referred to it as setback sweetener. was the other tradition. And now this is where I feel really bad, because this right now in life is my favorite type of cake, which I just recently discovered. When I say recently, maybe a year or two ago, it is a freshly made Tres Leches cake.
Oh, hell
yeah. Tres Leches. It's like, that's where it's absorbed.
You just discovered that?
It's like in cream and milk, and
it's
like a wet.
Tres Leches is the Spanish term for three milks. So it's sweetened condensed milk, evaporated milk, and then OG, like, out of the bottle.
I did just discover it.
Right, Ray? Am I right about that?
That's correct. Yeah. Welcome, Grody. Welcome to the party.
I don't know if I've ever been to the party.
You guys haven't had Tres Leches?
No, I've had it many times now in the last 2 years, but I only became aware of it at the Single Jewel 2 years ago. So
the Single Jewel.
One of my other singles.
Not
jewels.
The relationship jewel, for
no.
The record, the single
it
jewel.
It can be used to establish relationships. Other singles will be there.
Guys, yeah. do you miss the term singles bars? Somebody brought that up to me the other day.
Is
and
that
I was
not
like,
a thing
singles
anymore?
Bars?
Well, that's what every bar is anyway. Nobody walks into a bar like thinking, I've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend at home. You walk in there drinking, dropping your inhibitions, and hoping to come home with somebody.
I don't know what movie you're living in, but...
It's from the 1980s, I'm sure of that.
Saying,
I'm a person
if you go
who's
into
not
a
in
bar,
a bar. Relationship. No, but you know, like, the term singles bars
yes,
and how that used to be a thing?
Yes. No, you're right. It was. And now it's just speed dating. Now that's what that
or
is.
Or just, like, people. No, I know a lot of people, though, in relationships who I'll see, like, out and about, and they're not with that person, but they don't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
so
you're probably
fine.
Right. Yeah, yes. Maybe I'm going overboard.
No, you went overboard to a hilarious place.
You went in a time machine in your DeLorean. That's
guys, Trace Lay Chase. Let's focus on that.
Oh,
for
yeah,
now.
Sorry. Okay. So we'll do that. And then coming up next, Mark and Dan had a later conversation last night than I did with Mark. So I would like to hear the details of yours and Dan Wiederer's conversation. The senior reporter for The Athletic. He hosts the Take the North podcast with Mark. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.